Sometimes in my classes at the high school, we do what's called Question Day Friday, and the students get to ask me questions about, I want it to be about the faith. Sometimes it's like, do you have clothes that aren't black or something? But usually it's about the faith. And once in a blue moon, they ask a question that I don't know the answer to. And they like to hold that over my head for weeks, sometimes months. But it's good because I learn things too. And I learned something that totally changed the way I look at God, actually. It's a line that never really made sense to me. It's in the first reading. God's giving the law to the people. He's saying, don't have strange gods, because I'm a jealous God. I thought, really, is God insecure? Is he needy? Does he lack self-confidence such that he's jealous? And then I learned that jealous in the Old Testament doesn't mean what we mean. It means this: I want what's mine to stay mine. So the people of Israel belong to God. And he's like, you don't belong to other gods. You belong to me, right? Think of a guy at a bar or something, right? And he's going to get drinks for his lovely dear wife. And then he kind of sees this other sketchy dude kind of being a little too friendly, right? What arises in him? He's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. She's mine. Stay away. It's funny, that's just like an image of how God looks at you and I. It's like, you're mine. You don't belong to anything else. Right? And it's funny because you can read the whole Old Testament this way. It like started to make me think. There's always this imagery coming up of Israel as the spouse of the Lord. They use marriage imagery quite a lot, actually. Like, and then when they are going after false gods, he calls them an unfaithful spouse. And he's like, I've given you everything. I've provided for all your needs. Like, why are you running to these other gods? Right? In our mind, we're like, well, I don't worship false gods, but that's not exactly true. We do. They're not called Baal or Beelzebul or whatever those old gods were. They're called our sins. They're called sports or money or whatever. And so God, when he's giving the law, he's saying, like, here's how I can keep you with me. But now, obviously, that didn't totally work, right? The Jews were still wandering away from him. And so at the right time, God did something even more magnificent to keep us for himself. He sent his son. And so our gospel and our first reading are very closely linked, because in the first reading it says, I'm jealous. And then in the gospel, you get this word, zealous. That rhymes. That's not on accident. What is zeal? It's Jesus' whole mission, which is, I want what it belongs to my Father, to stay belonging to my Father. And John tells us this later. Jesus looks at his disciples actually at the Last Supper and says, this is the will of the one who sent me, that I should lose nothing of what he gave me. That's all he's doing. And everybody, that's what he's still doing every day. He is completely, right, the quote that the apostles use is this: zeal for your house will consume me. And that the temple isn't just the building. I want what is the Father's to remain the Father's. And everyone, you are the Father's. You belong to the Father. And so once again, everything Jesus does, you can read the whole New Testament of just Jesus is trying to keep us His. He's consumed with keeping you faithful to the Father. Now, one of the ways he does this, right, if the temple's not just the building, he's going to storm into our lives like he did into that temple and overturn the tables of our sinfulness. In a sense, like Lent invites us to that. It's like, why fasting? Why prayer? Why almsgiving? It's like, cooperate with Jesus, destroying your sins, driving them out with a cord. The righteous anger that arises in a faithful spouse. It's a beautiful image, right? Let Jesus drive that stuff out, overturn the tables. Zeal for your house will consume me. And then finally, as you know, this comes to such a consummation that he actually is consumed by zeal in death on the cross. We have a beautiful crucifix here. Most of our crucifixion scenes are that one too. Very beautiful. Now, we all know that that's not exactly what that looked like. It was much less pleasant to look at. But I think I may have shared this story, but it's worth repeating. When I was helping this last summer at Cor Christi, it's like an institute for middle school kids to learn the faith. Dr. Nick Emmel showed a picture of a crucifixion scene that I really like. It's by this guy named Matthias Grunewald, and it really shows like how ugly the crucifixion was. Like rigor mortis is setting into Jesus. His body's like green, and there's like these big spikes coming out of him, and his hands are actually like curled up, and like it looks kind of ugly. And so he shows this image, and he asks the class, he's like, what do you guys see? What do you see when you look at this? And this 14-year-old girl raises her hand, calls on her, says, it looks like he's in love. And I'm just like, holy smokes, that's deep. It's like, I don't really see that when I look at the crucifix. But she was right. He's being consumed with zeal for you on the cross. He's in love. And so God is a jealous God. He wants us to remain his. Everyone, I just want to just end with this. How do we respond to that? That's what Jesus is doing for us. How do we want to respond to that? We can do it in our own way. It's not like, oh, I have to do that. Well, he's just inviting us. How do you want to respond?